attention to the reading of His Word. Verse 15 is where we've been the last couple of weeks. He says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And we've looked at several things about this thing, studying. It is a workmanship, amen. A man has to work if he's going to study. He's going to have to put forth effort to find out what God has to say. It's amazing to me in the age that we're living in that people really don't care what God has to say. They will tell you they care what God has to say, but when it really comes down to doing what God has for them to do, they don't care what He says. And if you're not going to be a hearer, or if you're going to be just a hearer of the Word and not a doer of the Word, you're deceiving your own self. And in reality, you don't care what God has to say. And it's a shame that we live in an age where people don't care what God has to say. What does God say? Well, we believe we're King James Bible believers. And that's what we're talking about this morning because that's what we are. We believe God's Word. We've got the right book. We've got a book that in verse 15 says study. We don't have one of those off the market that have taken that word out. When you read your Bible today, when we got the verse 15, yours said study just like mine. But do we really do what it says? Or do we just tote around the facade of being a Bible believer? Boy, we really use words real loosely today. We really throw them around real loose. And if we're not careful, you know, what you have to say, you know, it affects somebody else. We saw that we was reading just a moment ago. It's not in the lesson, but look at verse 15. The Bible said, "Who concerning the truth have erred." This is that Hymenaeus and Philetus in verse number 17, their reward to be given to them, of course. But they have, the Bible said, "Who concerning the truth of air," these guys have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already. I mean, they've erred, and they're saying to others that the resurrection is past already. Do you know what the next phrase says after that semicolon? "And overthrow the faith of what?" What overthrew the faith of some is what Hymenaeus and Philetus had to say. Do you know what you say affects someone else? How we live, it affects someone else. Study to show thyself approved unto who? Who's looking? God's looking, amen. You know, it's not a trick question. God's looking. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Not as men pleasers, but as servants of the Lord, right? Serving God from your hearts. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Why are we ashamed? You know what's a shame? You know what's a shame? A lot of people ain't ashamed. That's a shame. When your life contradicts what God has to say and you're no longer a workman of the Word of God, you're not only living for the Lord, you're not even ashamed about it. You see some of these people living in such a lifestyle that it doesn't even bother them to live such a way. It doesn't bother them to go contrary to the words of God. What does God have to say? Well, that's what we care, preacher. We care about what God has to say. All I want to know is what God said. You know, that's the same thing the Pharisees and Sadducees were like, you know. Well, the Pharisees, Sadducees, they denied a lot of things. But the Pharisees, you know, they were stickers for, well, their traditions. But, you know, we go by what is said. What is said? Well, what do you really go by what's said when God really says, "Hey, here's what it says"? What do you do with it? But we say we go by what it says. What is Pharisaical attitude? Well, I'm somebody and I'm really not. But you know, you find the Lord dealing with people. You know who the Lord was compassionate with? A bunch of sinners. Do you know who the Lord was stern with? Pharisees. People think, well, we just treat everybody the same. You can't treat everybody the same. Amen. If you're going to minister to people and help people. I mean, there's publican sinners come in. They knew they're all filthy and dirty. The Lord sat down and ate with them, you know. Try to win them over. They don't need condemning them. They already know they're wrong. They're publicans and they're sinners. But it was the Pharisees that were sinners that he had to be stern with, because they thought, there's nothing wrong with me. I wear the long robes. We say the long prayers. We do what's right. And God said, outwardly, you know, you're real shiny sepulchers, but inside you're full of dead men bones. That's the way people are. You know, you put on a facade, well, I'm somebody, but when it really gets down to doing what God really says, then we separate. Study to show thyself approved unto God. You can take the same Bible that'll give you life, and that same Bible will damn your life. Depending on what you do with it. You know, do we really care? Do we really care? When it comes to pastoring people and trying to tell them what God has to say, then you really find out what they're really made of. Well, am I going to tell me nothing like that? Well, if I tell you what's right, then what's wrong? If something's not right in your life, what are we supposed to do? Kind of rambling a little bit this morning, ain't I? Way off 2:15. But I'm rambling for a reason. We just come out of revival. What a great time. If you cared what God had to say. But if you didn't, you better be careful. You think revival is a time of refreshing and rekindling and bringing fire in people's lives, but it seems that maybe some people just blew out a flame. Well, maybe their flame was strange fire. I mean, if the Holy Ghost comes and blows through, honoring through His Word, He come to guide you to all truth, right? And if it's godly, what's wrong? Look at something godly blow out the flame in your life. Unless the flame's not a right flame. Strange fire. Really start to tell what people are really made of when the rubber meets the road and it gets a little straight. Well, you say something like that because if you're not careful, you might hear sayings and overthrow the faith of some. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What does he say? So what should we do with the scriptures? Let me give you some things this morning. I think there's 8 of them I have written down this morning that we are to do with the scriptures. Number one, look in Deuteronomy chapter 17. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 17. What are we to do with the scriptures? We know we're to study the scriptures. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We saw earlier on in our study on this verse that we are to search the scriptures, right? Acts 17, the Bereans searched the scriptures, whether those things were so. We aren't to be worried about being approved unto God instead of men. We aren't to be workmen, and we aren't to be rightly dividing the word of truth. What am I to do with the word of God? And can I say this? Number one, we should read the word of God. Amen. Read the word of God. Why should I read the word of God? It's just a book. Well, if you think it's like that, then you're in bad shape. Bible said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. We walk by faith and not by what? Sight. So if I'm to walk by faith in a world that's full of sight and is full of glitter and glamour before our eyes, which ultimately becomes to affect our mind, well, what's going to counteract that thing that we're fighting against in this old flesh? Amen. You better read the word of God. You better open up that book and say, well, I don't understand it. Read it anyhow. The power's in this book. What, Hebrews 4:12? The word of God is quick and what? Powerful. That thing will work on you when you don't even realize it's working on you. And as soon as you lay down the word of God, you know you're going in a bad direction. You're just clay in the devil's hand, man. And he can mold you any way he wants once you put down the book. But you know, if you be honest in your life, if we'd be honest, times that we've gone away from the Lord is times we've laid down the word of God. Somebody said a long time ago, this book could keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from what? The book. Why have you laid down the Word of God? I was looking over that thing the other day. Remember that lesson we done over there in, is it 2 Peter? Add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, you know, those things you add to your faith. That first one was virtue, that moral standard, lifestyle. You know, when the Lord saves you, pulls you out, changes your life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. God does a rearranging in your life and puts some standards in your life you never had before. You remember when the Lord done that? That is the first step after the step of faith. You know, like the old saying is, you don't clean a fish before you catch him, and then the Lord cleans him. Fishers of men. That's the way the Lord worked. The Lord caught you, then he cleansed you. He would say, well, I clean my life up, I'll get right. You got it all messed up. You got to give your heart to the Lord, and God will clean you. But he put virtue in your life. That's the first step of faith that Peter laid out. You know when it comes obvious that you're going back to the old life? Is when there's no longer virtue. Now, there's a lot of things that fall out before that. You know, you always say, you see somebody go out and they went away from the Lord and went back to the world, you know, like the pig back to the wallowing of the mire and the dog back to its vomit kind of thing. We see that step. There's a lot of things that take place prior to that. Things start messing in your life, you know, you start dabbling with this or this and that. But when that thing becomes obvious again, you know when it becomes obvious? When you lose virtue. That's probably a lot of things you already lost before that step, but that's the step that when it becomes obvious that you're no longer here anymore, you went back to there. That's the step out. When you could care less how you live any longer. It's gone. Once you get to the point of losing virtue in your life, you're at that step of, I'm out. There are a lot of things led up to it backwards from the step of faith growth, you know, but when you get to that point, you're gone. Your faith's been overthrown. So what are we to do? What are we to do with the Word of God? What can help us in that? You are to read. Deuteronomy 17, look in verse number 19. You have to read. Don't lay down this book, man. Don't lay down the Word of God. We need God's Word. Deuteronomy 17, verse 19, he said, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein what? All the days of his what? Well, I just read every once in a while. He said, you need to read all the days of your life. When you don't even feel like it, read it. When you get the Chronicles in your daily reading and you're just reading so-and-so begat so-and-so and you can't pronounce half the words, read all the days of your life. Amen. Some of you at that point have been reading your Bible through, trying to read it through for the year. Thank God. I hope you're still doing it. If you're not, hey, catch up. Amen. Get in the Bible, amen. But you're at those Chronicle days. Read all the days of your life. You say, what has it got to do for my life? I'm not really sure what it's got to do with your life, but I know for a fact God put it in there and we're to read it. Amen. Say it as best you can, or maybe let Alexander Scorby read it for you and listen along while he reads or something. He can do it real good, can't he? Amen. But we're to read all the days of his life, look, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God. To keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them. So what am I to do? Number one, you're to read them. What am I to do with the Scriptures? You're to read the Word of God. Number two, look in Psalms 119. That great psalm about the Word of God. Whole 119th psalm speaks about the Word of God. Right before Proverbs, right? Psalms 119. What are we to do? Number two, you're not only just to read them, verse 160, you're to believe them. You're to believe them. You know, some people will read the Word of God, but they don't believe the Word of God. What do you do when the Word of God goes beyond your knowledge or beyond your comprehension? or beyond the way you fathom it to be. You don't believe it anyhow. Like one old brother said, people say, well, they don't believe that Jonah got swallowed by a whale. I'm like one preacher said. He said, if God would have said that Jonah swallowed the whale, I'd have believed it. Well, the Red Sea wasn't really that deep when they crossed over it. It was like a swampy land. Well, if he dried up a swamp and they walked across on dry ground, thank God for a miracle. Amen. Try to find something wrong with the Word of God. You know when these people are trying to find something wrong with the Word of God, there's something wrong with their lives? I ain't got much time for somebody who don't believe the Word of God. By the way, you can't help nobody who don't believe the Word of God. I mean, what are you going to help them with? Your philosophy? Your knowledge, you know what's going to bring faith to people's life is going to be the Word of God. And so once they stop believing the Word of God, there's no help for them. Anybody going to get saved apart from the Word of God? Amen. Well, I don't believe the Bible. Well, man, we might well quit talking because I ain't got nothing else to say to you. We'll go home and pray for you. God will wake you up, but we can't help you because you're going to go back and forth and telling me what you think. And I'm going to tell you what I think, and what I think don't matter, and what you don't think, what you think doesn't matter. It's what God said. Amen. What do? We're to believe the Word of God. Right. The devil put doubt in your mind. Somebody come up and try to twist the Word of God. Why? Because you can't got an answer for what they said. They said, I don't care if I got an answer or not. I believe God. Right. Yeah. So I don't know. How do you understand the Trinity? How are they three in one? Hey, I don't care. God said they three in one. Yeah. Whether I understand it, my little pea brain or not, it's still right. Amen. Look, 160, thy word is true, not yours, God's. Amen. Not mine, God's. From the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth for what? Amen. They're what? They're true. Amen. They endure forever. What are we to do? We're to believe it. Amen. Believe the Word of God. Number three, what should we do? Same chapter, look in verse 15. You're to meditate on them. You ever sit around and just meditate on the Word of God? Think about what God has to say. Well, I tell you what, it sure give us a whole lot better thoughts in our mind if we'd meditate on the Word instead of other things. How much garbage do we fill our mind up and we meditate on that? That's where we better practice Corinthians and casting down imaginations and those higher things exalted themselves against the knowledge of God. You better get that stuff out of there. What are we to do? We're to meditate on the Word of God. We're not talking about some yoga and with your leg crossed on a mat somewhere out of, devil mess. I'm talking about just thinking about the Word of God. Meditating on what He said. Verse 15 said, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy what? Ways. You know what to clean your mind up? A good washing of the Word of God. Amen. Need a little bit of brainwashing, don't we? Why we need brainwashing? Because our brain's filthy. Amen. Filthy mind. You know what to clean that thing up? A good dose of God's Word. Amen. We're to meditate on the Word of God. Look in verse number 18. And verse 34, this would be number four. What are we to do? We're to pray that God will reveal His Word to us. God, open up Your Word to me. Show me what You have to say. Jim, when we read the Word of God, that it be our mentality, we're guilty. Look at me. Guilty. The preacher is guilty of reading the Bible just to read my chapter. That ain't nothing to brag about, is it? But how many times we called ourselves just, checked off my three chapters today. You don't get nothing like that. Sit down, take time, pray, God, speak to me, show me what I need, speak to my heart today. You know, that's the same way you ought to come to church. Come to church that way. And see what God has to say. I think about Thursday night we ended revival, we had our last prayer, it was over with. And Brother Luke Miller dismissed us in prayer. I don't know if you listened, but he one of the things that he said, he's thanking the Lord for the things that God had shown him that week. Amen. And may we take heed to the things God has shown us, something to that effect. You know what he's saying? I was listening to God. How many times are we guilty when it comes reading the Word of God or the Word of God being preached to us and really not listening for God? Amen. Started out this morning, we sung a hymn, and how many times our minds are somewhere else? And we come to worship God. We come to thank God for His goodness to us, and we wonder why our singing is stale. There's no excitement because we ain't even really thinking about what we're singing. We're standing and singing our hymn like we always do, and that's bad to get like that. Amen. And then the brother gets up and does a devotion, and he's talking to us about the Word of God in our mind somewhere else, and we're playing with this and messing around with that instead of listening to God. What does God have to say to me today that's going to help me in my life? I've come to hear from God. Remember like Samuel, as a young kid, when he came over there and Eli spoke to him and Eli had something to say. And he thought it was Eli speaking to him. And he went back and Eli said, "Man, I ain't said a word to you. I ain't got nothing. I've not said nothing." And he goes back and Eli finally realizes, "Hey, man, it's the Lord speaking to him." And what did he say? He says, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." Amen, Miss Hatcher. Good to see you this morning. Amen. Thank the Lord. Amen. "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." That's the mentality we ought to take. But oh, how easily we are what? Distracted. Distracted. And, you know, some of us out of our hands. A baby crying. Babies cry. That's what they do. And you know what we'll do? We'll allow the devil to get our mind on the baby crying. Why don't they shut that baby up? Why don't they take that baby out? Hey, stop listening to the baby and listen to God. Are you that easily distracted? I'm not saying it's right. Somebody popping a pen. Some of y'all hate a popping a pen, don't you? And some of y'all do that mess. You're a distraction to somebody. That's what you are. A popping your candy. You do that. You're distracting to somebody. It ain't right. You're not to do it. But if they do it, try your best to listen to God instead of a pen or candy. That's your choice. I didn't say it'd be easy, but don't be so easily distracted. Don't you realize the devil's working to snatch away the Word of God that's been sown? You remember we read the parable, the soul went up and they sowed seed, and some fell on good ground, some fell on thorny ground, you know. Some fell on hard ground. I guess the hard ground was candy. That hard stuff that cracks, you know. And thorny ground, I guess that pen is just a thorn in your side. And some of it fell on good ground. That good ground brought forth, what, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. I mean, because you was listening. I didn't say it's right for somebody to distract you, but I'm saying, hey, you've got the capacity, or pray God to help give you the capacity to stay alert. Amen. Some of you say, "I can't sit in the back because I see everybody moving." All right, well, move up. That helps you. Come on, do what you got to do. Yeah. And if you sit back there, hey, don't let them distract you. So, hey, you're amongst people. Right. The flesh is going to react. Things are going to happen. Somebody going to go to the bathroom 18 times, no matter how much we tell them they ought to listen and not go to the bathroom. Amen. No matter how many 15-minute breaks we have after Sunday school, some of them still ain't going to go to the bathroom, and they're going to get up there and preach it. Right. It ain't right. But don't be distracted, amen. Hey, stay with God's Word, amen. Hey, ask God to give me understanding, help me to stay alert, and help me hear what the Spirit had to say to me today. Wouldn't that help? This stuff will help you. Verse 18, we said, pray God reveal His Word to you. Did you get up today and say, "God, we're going to church today. Would you speak to me today? Would you use the preacher and give him something to say?" I'd appreciate that if you'd pray that. Because I want to have something to say to you. And I want it to be what God will have me to say. You know? Verse 18 says this, "Open thou mine eyes." It's a prayer. "That I may behold wondrous things out of thy" what? Boy, that's a good prayer, ain't it? God, show me something. Verse 34 says this, "Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole what? Heart." You know, there'll be certain things that'll be preached probably more times than none. And it might be the preacher's fault. This might be timing. It might be our gross days. That some of it just goes right over your head. Some of it goes over your head because it just ain't for you now. You ever thought about it like that? You ever thought that? Hey, you imagine you have 100 people in the church and you got a message to give to people, that some of the stuff that's said is just not right there applicable to that person at that moment. Everybody's at different stages of growth. And so when it gets to that point where, hey, something flies over your head, just stay in tune. Something's coming is for you. Amen. And when it comes to you, don't get the habit of shoveling it back. Or don't let the devil get in your mind when it's for somebody else and you say, boy, they really needed that. Right. And then your mind goes to thinking about how much they really needed to hear that. And there's something coming next that's for you, but you're still going, boy, they sure did need that. And when it comes to what you needed, you didn't hear a word that was said. You know who heard what you needed to say? The one that didn't listen to what they needed to hear. They're saying, boy, they sure didn't need that. Amen. And everybody's worried about what somebody else needs and nobody's getting what they need. Amen. Are we guilty? Amen. And we need to listen. Amen. We need to pray for understanding. Ask God to speak to you and let God speak to somebody else. There's a lot going on with just a number like this today. There's a lot of things that's going to be said that people need to hear. And some of it ain't going to be for you. But hey, wait. Hide it in your heart. It might not be for now. It might be later you need it. Amen. You take preacher, get up, preach on suffering. You ain't going through a thing. Hold on longer. Sooner or later, you're going to need what was said. Amen. So listen good. You're going to need it. Amen. Because you're going to be suffering. Ask God to reveal His Word to you. Number one, we said read them. Number two, we said believe them. Number three, we said meditate. Number four, pray that God will reveal it to you. Number five, we are to pore over them night and day. Look in Psalms chapter 1. Pore over them night and day. Stay in it. Those Bereans search the Scriptures whether those things are so. Hey, some of you are good listeners. You just got a mind to absorb. Most of the time it's young kids that's got those kind of minds. They soak it in. But some of you got minds like, everybody's got a different kind of makeup. You're not all the same. But some people, they can sit there and listen to everything that's said and take it in. Now, some of us, we got to listen and write it so we can get it twice. And then there's some of us, we got to listen, write it down, and go home and read it again. Amen. Everybody ain't the same. Right. Everybody ain't got a mind that takes stuff like that. Some of you do. So whatever you do, do it. Right. Just do what you do. Whatever's going to help you get it more, to take it, do it. If you're just a good listener, you just sit there, just dialed in, staring it down, take it. Hey, glory be to God. If you're not that kind of person, then do something to help get what you need. That's what you tell your kids, right? You're teaching your kid at school, and all of them don't learn the same way. They're not all the same. Your youngins are not. They ain't none of them the same. Amen. Every one of them's different, amen. And some of them can just take it, see it one time, and they got it, and the other one, you got to beat it in them. Amen. I mean, you take math. If I showed something to Luke, he just like, boom, there it is, he's got it. Katie? Dude, you talking about, she probably still gets to remember some of the times I used to, are you listening? Do you see what in the world's wrong with you? Where's she at? She probably still has nightmares from the way I screamed at her about multiplication. She finally got 42, 7 times 6. Man, it took a long time, but she's got that one. That was a hard one, man. What do you mean? I'm telling you, everybody's different. Whatever you are, do it. Whatever helps you. Look, verse 2. But His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law doth He what? Meditate when? Day and night. What are you to do with the Word of God? Just go over it. Go over it. You ever read something in the Word of God and you thought, man, that wasn't in there last time I read it. It was. But by going over it, it showed up. Amen. Like it's magical or something, you know? Where'd that come from? I never seen that before, amen. Hey, what? Go over it. Pour over it day and night. Keep going over it, amen. God will give you what you need. He said, why would we read our Bible through? I read it through one time before. Because when you go over this time, you're going to need something this year you didn't need last year. Amen. Pour over it. Amen. Number six, Hosea chapter 12. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. You know, those small ones over there. Hosea 12. Study at similitudes. Compare things, you know. There's a lot of things you learn out of similitudes. A lot of things God to teach you out of things. Like, you know, he said about those Old Testament writings for our admonition, our learning. There's certain things of types and similitudes that'll show you and reveal other truths to you, and you'll get it. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little kind of thing, you know. Hosea 12, verse 10, the Bible says this, I have also spoken by the prophets. That's what he did, right? Reread the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, he spoke. And I have multiplied visions and used what? Similitudes by the ministry of the prophets. Similitudes. What is it like? You know, when people miss a lot of similitudes like that? Like as he spoke in tongues as of clothing fire, as or like. It wasn't literal. It was as or like something. You know how people miss truth like that? Because they think, well, that's literal. Some things are literal. You know, when you come to studying your Bible, you know, the precept is, or the lesson of learning is, hey, if you can take it literal, take it literal. Take it literal till you can't take it literal. A lot of people try to spiritualize everything away. And there's a lot of things that God literally meant when he said it. But when he says words like as or like something, he's not saying take it literal. It's comparison. You're to compare things. Similitudes. Not only similitudes, when we study our Bible, we should study contrast. There are certain things that are just complete opposite. Look at Amos 3. Hosea, Joel, Amos, right there after it, right? Amos 3. Study contrast. And you learn things that way. Heaven ain't hell. Jesus ain't the devil. It's complete opposites. Amen. The Philistines are not the children of Israel. Amen. Contrast, straight different. God's people are not the world's people. Amen. Come out from among them. Be ye separate. There's contrast. There's certain things that are just not the same. Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be what? Agreed. Find contrast. Find things that don't stick together. Find things that do stick together. That's how you study the Word of God. We're to read them, we're to believe them, we're to meditate on them, we're to pray for understanding, we're to pour over them night and day, we're to study similitudes, we're to study contrast. We're to find out, Numbers 8, what the Bible says doctrinally. Look in 2 Timothy, back where we started. Doctrine, sound doctrine, healthy teaching. What does God have to say? Verse 16 of chapter 3, 2 Timothy. What's the first word? All? You see that? All Scripture is given by inspiration of who? God gave it. God breathed it. God spoke it. And is profitable for what? That's the first thing. You define its doctrine. What is it teaching? What does it have to say? And doctrine is just not fundamentals. It's just not, you know, people say, well, I know doctrine. I know the doctrines of the tribulation and the doctrines of the Trinity and the doctrines of the deity of Christ and the doctrines of... Doctrine is practical. Living anything contrary to sound doctrine is the way you live. It affects your life. Don't be just a hearer of a word, but a doer also. Look at verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's what we're to do with the Scriptures. Whatever you do, make sure you do a lot with it. And nothing without it. We need the Word of God. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your book. May you guide our lives with it. May we not just be hearers, but doers also. God bless our services here today. Bless the singing in the choir. Bless Brother Ted as he leads. Give those that sing a spirit in their voice that bring glory and honor to you and ministers to the hearts of your people. God, I pray that preaching the Word of God to go forth clear. Give understanding, God, to our lives, to change our lives for the better of thy kingdom. Thank you for loving us. God, anybody come in our midst today lost, God, open up their eyes to the glorious gospel. They might be delivered from that burning hell. God, do what needs to be done today in our lives. Have your will and way. We're praying for your understanding and your unction today. In Christ's name, amen. Amen.
Yeah. I'm gonna whip you when I get back.
All right, come on. Bring me a big stick.